ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवापहै तेजस्विनापथीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. अयमित्यपरोक्षत्वम् स्वयं प्रकाशचैतन्यम् स्वयं प्रकाशचैतन्यम् अपरोक्षं सदायतः अपरोक्षं सदायतः. Remember, in the first verse, first line is Atmanam Cheti Janiyat Ayam Asmi Iti Purushaha. The word they're working on right now is Ayam. It says Atmanam Cheti Janiyat Purushaha. If a person, the jiva, the chira basa, if that jiva should know Vijaniyat, should know the Atma, should know the self as Ayam Asmi, I am this. This word Ayam indicates a direct, immediate presence as opposed to that. I am this as opposed to, this is here as opposed to that is over here, right? So this is referring to something that is immediately, directly known. And so in the previous verse, verse 20 that we did last time, we finished with last time, this verse goes like this. If the Atma says, the knowledge of the self, that knowledge which is responsible for negating the knowledge, the cognition of the self being the body, the knowledge of the real Atma, which negates the knowledge of or the cognition of the Atma being the body, that knowledge, when it is the one for whom it is firm, dehatma jnanam, just as firm as dehatma jnanavat, like a person's knowledge, an ajnani's knowledge of I am this body, like how rooted that is, right? So for a person whose knowledge is that firm in terms of the nature of the self, I am this self, meaning the kutastha atma, I am this changeless, limitless self, that's my nature, then nechanapi muchate, even if he didn't want it, that person, even if they didn't want to be liberated, they would be, if that direct, immediate knowledge was there. Okay, so that's the verse that we left off on. Now in this verse it says, ayam iti aparokshatvam uchate. The aparokshatvam, the state of being direct, immediate knowledge, ayam iti, this word says that. This aparokshatvam uchate is said by this word if you say ayam iti. The aparokshatvam is said. If you say that, chait, ted uchatam, then yeah, let that be said. Let that be said. So in the verse it says, ayam asmi. That ayam indicates aparoksha jnanam. What does aparoksha mean? This aparoksha jnanam is a really important term for really understanding what this, understanding the knowledge, in fact, how knowledge takes place for you. If we say, and just put it in the context, if I can say I have direct, immediate knowledge through my sense perception, what that means is that my sense organs actually land on the object. So I have direct, immediate knowledge because from the sense perception, a vritti is formed in my mind that is true to that object. And if it's true to that object, we say there's praman, knowledge has taken place. So it's direct and immediate. There's no distance between the vritti and the object, right? The vritti is a vritti of the object that's immediately apprehended by me. I could say also I can gain what we call paroksha jnanam. That means somebody gives me indirect knowledge. They tell me about the temple in Coimbatore that I haven't seen yet, for instance. or they talk about their home that I haven't been to visit yet, and they describe it. Or they talk about Swargaloka, as we'll see in a verse that's coming up. They're talking about the heaven world, so as they're described in the Vedas. So they describe it in detail, and I think, well, this description is from a reliable source. And so I have Shraddha in the description, but it's not direct knowledge. It's paroksha. It's beyond my eyes. Aksha means eyes. It's beyond my sense organs. So that's paroksha. Pratyaksha, aksha, eyes, or sense organs. Prati means it's within the vicinity of my sense organs, so I gain direct knowledge. When we use the word aparoksha, paroksha means indirect knowledge. Aparoksha means not indirect. So when we talk about self-knowledge, we can't say that this knowledge of myself is paroksha because I'm here. So there's no indirect, there can't be really indirect knowledge for me if I'm present. But I can't look at myself with my sense organs. Right, so I can't have, my sense organs are only good for seeing what's not me, in fact. Just think about your eyes and your ears and your sense of touch. These are all things that are good for sense objects. But the conscious being is the one that actually illumines the mind, which these sense organs are allowing me to have thought modifications of. All right, so the self is not something that is known or that is shining as an object of my sense perception. And yet, when we gain self-knowledge, what kind of knowledge is that? It can't be paroksha. It can't be indirect knowledge. Nor can it be sense perception. And so we call this knowledge of the self aparoksha because it's not indirect, because my presence is here. So it is a way we translate aparoksha jnanam is direct, immediate knowledge. There's no distance between the knowledge of myself and myself. So it's direct, immediate knowledge. So now, this is as though doubt is being brought up, where he says, this word ayam in the verse is indicating aparokshatvam, the aparokshatvam of the self, the immediacy of the self. Because you say ayam. Ayam means this. If that's what you want to say, then the Siddhanta, the Vidyaranya says, yes, let that be said, that's fine. He says, why? Why is it fine? Swayam prakasha chaitanyam aparoksham sada yataha. Because, yataha, because, sada, always, swayam prakasha chaitanyam aparoksham. Because oneself, swayam, is Swayam prakasha chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is consciousness. Consciousness is swayam prakasha, self-luminous, self-shining. So no other luminary or no other means of knowledge is necessary for the to light up consciousness, the consciousness which is yourself. And so therefore, because the consciousness is its own experience, it doesn't require sense perception for it to be known. It's self-evident. And therefore, the nature of the self is self being self-evident consciousness is always aparoksha. Okay? There's never a time, in fact, for ajnani, as we'll see, for jnani or ajnani, that the self is not aparoksha from its own swarupa, from its own nature. But we'll have to see what the problem is for the ajnani. Because what that means is, the self that you are right now, that you experience as yourself, not you don't experience yourself as an object, you don't look at yourself as an object, but you say, I am a sentient conscious being. Those words, I am, I exist, I am a conscious being, those words are labeling you. Like if I say, this is a lamp. The statement, this is a lamp, is labeling this. If I say, I am a conscious, existent being, those words are labeling that which is me, the existent, conscious me. That one is Brahman. But it is that one that the mind has mistaken to be identified with this body. And so you see the problem? The problem is that this Atma, the self that you are, is always, that Swayam Prakasha means self-effulgent. Prakasha means shining. Chaitanya, consciousness, which is self-evident, self-shining. The Atma is always, self-evident, self-shining. There's no time when it is not. So it's fine for you to say, as an objection in the verse, that when the person recognizes the self as I am this, that I am this, the ayam, is referring to something which is aparoksha. We say, yes, that's true, because the Atma is always aparoksha. Of course, the question comes, well, if it's always aparoksha, if it's always self-evident, what's the problem? Why don't I know myself then? So the objector would say, well, so obviously, it really isn't aparoksha. So he wants to admit that doubt in the bud. So he says, Paroksham, aparoksham cha. Paroksham, aparoksham cha. Jnanam ajnanam ityataha. Jnanam ajnanam ityataha. Nitya paroksharupepi. Nitya paroksharupepi. Dvayam syatashame yatha. Dvayam syatashame yatha. So indeed, paroksham, aparoksham. Cha. Jnanam ajnanam iti adaha. Nitya aparoksha rupe api dvayam syat dashame yata. Says paroksham, indirect knowledge, and aparoksham. Paroksham and aparoksham. Direct, indirect knowledge and direct knowledge, direct immediate knowledge. Jnanam, ajnanam. Knowledge and ignorance, iti. Adaha dvayam, both of these. Dvayam means a set of two. Adaha dvayam, these both. Paroksham, aparoksham. Jnanam, ajnanam, both of these. Both of these can be there, dvayam syat. Even in something which is always aparoksha, even in something nitya aparoksha rupa, even in something which is nitya, means always aparoksha, always immediately directly present as I am, right? Yata dashama, dashama, it says. Dashame yata, just as in the tenth man. Remember the tenth man story? Right? So the tenth man story is one of our bread and butter stories. Right? So just as, so Vidyarana, so you can see how long it's been around. Just so, and he's going to go into the tenth man story. So this is the 13th century, right? So just as in the tenth man story, all of these terms are applicable. So he wants to tell you about the tenth man story now. 23. Nevasankhyahritajnanaha dashamo vipramattada dashamo vipramattada naveti dashamo smiti naveti dashamo smiti. Vikshamano pitanava, vikshamano pitanava. He says, neva sankhya hrita jnanaha dashamaha vibhramat tada na veti dashamaha asmiti asmi iti vikshamanaha api tanava. He says, dashamaha, the tenth man, whose jnanam nevasankhya hrita jnanaha, the one whose knowledge, whose jnanam, has been taken away, has been captivated, his mind has been captivated by what? By the But by the number nine, by the enumeration, the nava means nine. There's 10 men, right? 10 boys. He's counted nine. So now his mind has been captivated, it's been grabbed by the enumeration of the nine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now his mind has stopped. It's been totally grabbed by that. So, vibramat. So, from this error, then, naveti dashamaha asmi iti. He doesn't know, because of this error, having been lost, counting the number nine and having obsessing now on the number nine, okay, he now, because of that error that's happened, he doesn't know. What is he doesn't know? Deshamo asmi, I'm the tenth man. In Sanskrit, you can't say, indirect speech, you can't say, he doesn't know that I'm the tenth man. You have to say, he doesn't know I'm the tenth man. You can't say, he doesn't know that he isn't the tenth man. You have to say, he doesn't know. And then you have to put in actual quotes what it is he doesn't know. So he doesn't know, quote, that I am the tenth man. So he doesn't know that I'm the tenth man. Naveti deshamaha asmi iti. Vikshamanaha api tannava. Even though he's seeing clearly, vikshamanaha, even while seeing clearly these other nine, tannava, so while seeing clearly these other nine, naveti, he doesn't know dashamosmi, right? Why? Because his mind stopped on the ninth man. Doesn't go any farther. He counts the nine and then he thinks, the tenth man is missing. So looking at number nine, he's thinking the tenth man is not there. There's nobody else there. So thinking that, with that mind caught that way, with that vibrama, tada, then, right, then, even while seeing all of them there, he doesn't count himself. Okay, so he says, he doesn't know at that time that I am the tenth man. So then what happens? Nabati nasti dashama iti. Nabati nasti dashama iti swayam dashamam. Nabati nasti dashamaha, like that. Nabati nasti dashamaha iti swam dashamam tada. Iti swam dashamam tada. Matva bhakti taragnana. Matva bhakti taragnana. Kritam avaranam viduhu. Kritam avaranam viduhu. He says, now this tenth man says, matva, thinking the tenth man, thinking himself there, he's thinking, he says, but think, having thought this over, he himself says, nabati nasti dashamaha. He says this about himself. Nabati nasti dashamaha. Iti swam dashamam tada. Matva vakti tat agnanam agnana kritam avaranam viduhu. So he says, having thought about this, he makes the statement about the tenth man, having thought about the tenth man, nabhati na asti dashamaha. There is no tenth man. There is no tenth man. The tenth man is not here to be seen. The tenth man is gone. The tenth man is not here. So he says, now, tad agnanakritam avaranam viduhu. The wise people, what they say about this, they have a name for this. They call this avaranam. This condition that is brought about by agnanam is called avaranam. So he's introducing a technical term here. If we have agnanam of something, if we are ignorant of something, then this ignorance is going to have a twofold aspect to it. First one is avaranam. The second one he'll talk about in a minute is called vikshepa. What the avarana does, if the ignorance takes place, the avarana covers what is actually there. That's the first thing. So that covering itself is brought about by the agnanam. What is the covering in this case? There is no tenth man. The tenth man is gone. the tenth man is nowhere to be seen. Right? Who is saying that? The tenth man is the one that's saying that. Right? The tenth man is aparoksha, in fact. The tenth man is completely here. So in terms of the tenth man experience, right, just imagine, I mean, this is an incredible, it's kind of a mind blower. When you think about this in terms of self-knowledge, the simplicity of it. Because when the tenth man has counted out the other nine, you know, and then having not counted himself, the self is now covered, right? It's, the self is completely unknown. With that self being completely unknown, even though it is completely here, the self experience is completely here. But the self experience as the tenth man is not here. Right? The self experience is here, but at the same time, talking as the tenth man now, the self experience is here, but the tenth manness of the self experience is not here. So even though the self as the tenth man is aparoksha, it's paroksha. It's aparoksha because it is absolutely present, absolutely here. It's not away from one's experience at all. But even though it's aparoksha, it becomes paroksha because of ajnana, because of ignorance. What is aparoksha because of ignorance becomes paroksha because you say the tenth man is nowhere to be seen, nabhati, not here, not manifest, not here. The tenth man is not here. There is no tenth man. The tenth man is gone. It's not here. Right? That means now, because of that ajnanam, yourself has been covered. There's a covering. It's called avaranam. And so that's one aspect of ajnanam. So he says here, the tenth man, having thought about it, looked for himself, not being able to find that, says, the tenth man is not here, is gone. Tenth man is gone. Doesn't shine anywhere, not manifest anywhere. That, brought about by ajnanam, is what we call avaranam. That aspect of ignorance is called the covering. Avaranam means covering. But that's not all it does. So having done this, made this covering now, then, next verse, nadyam mamada dashamaha, nadyam mamada dashamaha, iti shochan prarodita, praroditi iti shocham praroditi ajnana krita vikshepam ajnana krita vikshepam rodanadim vidur buddhaha rodanadim vidur buddhaha. So nadyam mamara dashamaha iti shocham praroditi ajnana krita vikshepam rodana adim viduhu buddhaha. Now, the tenth man being covered, what happens? Nadyam mamada dashamaha iti. Dashamaha, the tenth man has died in the river. Nadyam, in the river, Mamara died. He's died. He's been killed. He's died in the river. The tenth man has died in the river. Iti Shochan, grieving. Shochan, grieving. Paroditi, he cries. He wails. Grieving that the tenth man has died in the river, he's weeping and crying.
Suffers.
He suffers. Paroditi means wailing, crying, weeping. Ajnana krita vikshepam rodanadim vidur buddhaha. The wise people know this rodana, this weeping and crying, this grieving. All these things, the grieving, the weeping, all of these things, the whole thing, as vikshepa, projection. You know, it's the projection that's brought about by caused by the ajnana, ignorance, ajnana krita vikshepam, the projection caused by the ajnanam, right? So it's so interesting. This is why we look at ajnanam as something, it's maya. It's something that is positive. It's not something non-existent. Because the ajnana being there, you know, it covers something, but it projects something else. It's an interesting thing. Now the tenth man is gone. The tenth man is gone. And so now what's happened to the tenth man? The tenth man has died in the river. Well, you have to do something with him. Right? Because you have to account for it somehow. So he must have died in the river. Okay, now if he's died in the river, then what does that do to me? Right? It fills me with grief and sorrow. I'm responsible for the tenth man. If I was the scout leader after all, I'm responsible for the tenth man. He's died in the river. Oh my God, what is going to happen to me? What's going to happen to his parents? What's going to happen to us? On and on and on. Swamiji will go on and on, making just the most terrible situation imaginable. You know, most terrible situation imaginable. All of it comes out of your own imagination. It all is really, where it's not even coming out of your own imagination. That's not even fair to say. It's coming out of the ajnana. Without the ignorance there, this imagination is impossible, right? It's the ignorance that is the producer of the imagination, right? Without the ignorance, nothing. What does the ignorance have to do in order for this imagination to be, this vikshepa, to be possible? Well, it has to cover the fact. If the fact were not covered, the projection's not possible. So ajnana is said to have this twofold power, you know, avarna vikshepa. In the Vedanta Shastra, you'll hear these words all the time. Ajnanam, which has this twofold capacity, avarana and vikshepa. Avarana is the covering of what's actually there, and the vikshepa is the projection. That's why we say, you know, in light of these two things, we'll say, you know, for there to be avarana and vikshepa, there has to be somebody present. Somebody present for that avarana and vikshepa to take place. It has to be the avarana. Something has to be covered, and then upon something that's covered, there's something else projected. So we'll use the example to make that clear. What we mean by that is when we talk about, for instance, the rope snake. If somebody's where the snake is projected on the rope, if somebody is just walking along at dusk and doesn't notice the rope there, there's no possibility of rope ignorance. See, there's just total ignorance, no problem. It's like deep sleep. If you're in deep sleep, there's just 100% ajnanam, total ignorance. The mind is not functioning, right? And so ignorance is bliss. You have to say total ignorance is bliss. Sometimes Swamiji will joke about that. Total ignorance is bliss. We all know that. Deep sleep, you have a great time. It's the partial ignorance. It's the partial ignorance. Because when you're walking along at dusk and you see the form, you experience the form, that's the aparokshatvam. The form is actually experienced, but not what the form is. See the difference there? The form is being experienced, but not what it is. And so then you have the form plus the ajnanam of the form. In that situation, when you have the experience of the form, the bends of the rope, so that experience is there, but you miss the ropeness of the bends, then you have ajnanam, right? Which has brought about the avaranam, the covering of the rope, that has allowed for the projection of the snake, or the water streak, or the crack in the earth. Whatever happens to, it happens to give to you. But as long as you've had the experience of the object, without knowledge of the object, then your mind or the ajnanam will give you something. Right? But it's not going to get, if there's ajnanam there, it's not going to give you the rope. If you see the rope, if you gain knowledge of the rope, then what happens to the projection? Right? The ajnanam is gone, the projection is gone. This is the same here. This is the same situation. So that's why the tenth man story is so, so powerful. The tenth man is present, like the form of the rope is present. The tenth man experience of the object that is there, which is the conscious being, the tenth man. That conscious being experience is there. Right? Look at this. With the rope, all of the bends experience is there. The diameter is there. The whole experience of the rope is there except the ropeness of the rope. The object is experienced. Here for the tenth man story. The tenth man is experienced completely, fully, wholly, but not as the tenth man. And so since the tenth man is experienced but not as the tenth man, then that's going to allow for any amount of projection. There is no tenth man. The tenth man has died. The tenth man is drowned in the river. And woe is me. Then my mind responds to the missing tenth man. Just like my mind, if I see the snake, my mind responds to the snake. Right? What if the snake, as the story goes, the snake brushed up against the boy. The boy fell and totally panicked, thinking that he has a few minutes to live. Because he's been bitten by the snake. Right? There was no snake there. But the mind thinks there was a snake there. And so the mind creates the reality, the appropriate response to the snake. The tenth man, when the tenth man is ignorant, has the ajnanam of the tenth man, even though the total tenth man's experience is totally there, except the tenth manness of it, right? He is going to project a scenario. The scenario he projects is, of course, the tenth man is missing, the tenth man is missing, he may have died in the river, he did die in the river. It just goes on like that. Now the emotional response is to what? The emotional response is appropriate to what? To the tenth man that's died in the river. Right? There's nothing wrong with the response. The response, well, what would you do if the tenth man died in the river? It's a normal response. Okay? The problem is that the tenth man didn't die in the river. But now he has to gain knowledge that the tenth man didn't die in the river. Until he gains that knowledge, he's going to be suffering the emotional trauma of the tenth man dying in the river. The tenth man is aparoksha, but has become very much paroksha. Aparoksha has become paroksha because of the ajnanam. See that? It's very important to understand because you have to understand nothing really happens when you get knowledge. Nothing happens and everything happens. Nothing changes, everything changes. Both are true. So, let's see. Guy's died in the river. Now he says, Namrato dashamostiti Namrato dashamostiti Shrutvap Shrutvapta vachanam tada Shrutvapta vachanam tada Parokshatvena dashamam Parokshatvena dashamam Veti swarga di lokavat Veti swarga di lokavat. He says, now what happens, okay, is a trustworthy man comes up and says something to him. So what he says is called opta vachanam. This is an expression. Vachanam means the words of an opta. An opta means a trustworthy, respectable person. So if you say, this is an opta vachanam, it means this is the statement of a trustworthy person. Okay? So now, this is the next thing that happens to this fellow. It says, ta-da. Then what happens is for this guy, an opta purusha comes to him and he says, namritaha dashamaha. Namritaha dashamaha. Let me do the sandhi. Namritaha dashamaha asti iti. Shrutva aptavachanam tada parokshatvena dashamam veti swarga adi lokavat. Okay, so this aptapurusha, trustworthy person, comes up and makes a statement to him. And now this man, this tenth man, having heard the statement, this is the statement. This is what the guy comes up to him and says. Namritaha dashamaha asti. The tenth man isn't dead. That's what he says. He comes up to him and he says, right up to him, and he says, the tenth man isn't dead. Swamiji will go, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. The tenth, what is the matter, my son? Don't worry. I see what the problem is. The tenth man is not dead. Okay. Now, having said that, then this boy, the tenth man, this boy, paroksha tvena dashamam veti. He knows now that the tenth man is. But how does he know it? Paroksha tvena. He knows it as indirect knowledge. Because all this man has said to him is, you know, don't worry, the tenth man isn't dead. No knowledge has taken place, except now there's a possibility that the tenth man isn't dead, because this is an Aptapurusha. And Aptapurusha, it's very important there. Aptapurusha means it's a trustworthy person. And if it's a trustworthy person, means it's trustworthy to that deshama, to that tenth man. So this trustworthy person comes up and says to him, don't worry, the tenth man is not dead. Now this boy gains paroksha jnanam, indirect knowledge. Because he trusts, he has shraddha. He has shraddha in this person who's telling him the tenth man isn't dead. And so he feels, oh, thank goodness, the tenth man isn't dead. Right? But he has no idea what has happened to the tenth man or who even the tenth man is. He can't remember the poor guy. Right? He can't remember who the tenth man is, but at least he knows the tenth man isn't dead. So, of course, he's going to have a whole slew of questions. Well, great. Where is he? Where is he? You know? So Swamiji will go on and on. You know, is he behind the bushes? Did he play a joke on us? What is he doing? Where is he? Please show him to me. You know? Then the old man or the Aptapurusha says, oh, no, wait, I'll show him. I'll just settle down here. You know, you line up all your guys, then I'll show them to you. So here he says, now paroksha tvena dashamam veti. He knows this tenth man, but only indirectly. He doesn't have direct knowledge. He just has shraddha. He believes now that this man knows that the tenth man is, and so I believe him. We operate on this type of knowledge all the time. This is when you read your textbooks or you read, you know, whatever you're studying. Somebody tells you this is how it is, you have to say, okay, this is how it is. Because you have shraddha in the veracity of the textbook or of the book that you're reading or of the scholar who's writing or whatever. Person says it's this, okay, fine. And you operate on it. We do it all the time. So this Aptapurusha comes up and says, don't worry, the tenth man is, it's okay. Oh, thank God. But he doesn't have direct knowledge. It's indirect knowledge, right? Now he says, Swargadivat. Just like Swargadi Lokavat. Just like in the Vedas, they'll say there's Swarga. There's all of these different lokas. Heaven world, Swargaloka, Brahmaloka, the Gandharvaloka. You know, all of these various different lokas, these different planes of existence. So you believe that those are there. You've never seen Swargaloka. But the Veda says there's Swargaloka. So you have Shraddha in the Veda. The Veda says there's Swargaloka, so okay, there's Swargaloka. And then that becomes part of your reality. You trust that such a thing is there. So it's like that. Now this Aptapurusha has come and said the tenth man is. You say, okay, good, thank God, the tenth man is. Where is he? Okay. So, next verse. Twameva dashamo siti. Twameva dashamo siti. Ganayitva pradarshitaha, ganayitva pradarshitaha, aparokshataya jnatva, aparokshataya jnatva, rishyateva naroditi, rishyateva naroditi. Sandhi. Twam eva dashamaha asi iti ganayitva. Pradarshitaha aparokshataya jnatva hrishyati eva naroditi. He says, ganayitva, having counted. Now this is the Aptapurusha, you know, the wise old man or whoever it is that's helping this boy. First, having counted 1, 2, 3. See, Vidyaranya knows that everybody knows this story. So he doesn't have to tell everything. So he just says, having counted. Okay, we've heard this a million times. We know, okay, having counted. Okay. What is that? Gotta be Twami. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. So having counted, Pradarshitaha, he then points out Twameva Dashama. Purneva Dashamaha Asi. You are the tenth man. So having counted the other nine, he looks at the, he points to, Darshita, Pradarshita means he looks at, he points to, he shows him. What does he show him? Twamasi, you are. What are you? You alone. It's not just you are. Twam Eva. You alone. Only you. You are the tenth man. Right? But he had to have first count the other nine. If he hadn't counted the other nine, there's room for doubt. See that? By counting the other nine to that boy, and the boy knows how to count to ten, right? After having counted the other nine, when he points to you ten, there's no way that that boy won't realize that I am the tenth man. It's impossible. Because all of the doubts have already, all of the other possibilities have been negated. See, until all of, if those other possibilities had not been negated, by just pointing at the boy and saying, you are the tenth man, that's not good enough. It's like a student comes to the teacher for Atmajnanam, and the teacher says, you are Brahman. You are Brahman. Get it? You are, no. All of the other possibilities of what you had taken yourself to be have to first be negated, right? Before the mind can see, because the adhyasa, the ajnanam is so much, the adhyasa, superimposition is so much, that you can't walk around to somebody and just say, you are Brahman. You have to make that person see the fact, that drik drisha, that differentiation between yourself, right? And what you've taken yourself to be, that separation has to take place. That viveka has to take place. So this ganitva is considered the viveka, the negation. It's the neti neti, not this, not this, not this, not this. So ganitva, having counted, means neti neti, not this, not this, not this. Then showing, twameva dashamaha asi, you are the tenth man. Then, nyatva, now having known aparokshatiya, directly, immediately, now this boy knows. But how does he know? Not, there is a tenth man. That's a lot different. In India, people who are well-versed in the Vedas and in their tradition, they all know there is a Brahman. There is Brahman. And I'm supposed to be that Brahman too. The Upanishads say there is a Brahman. And the Upanishads say, Tatvamasi, that I am that Brahman. I don't know what they mean, but this is what the Upanishads say. That's indirect knowledge. Then they'll even say, to know, to understand what this means, I have to go to a guru. And the teacher, the guru, has to teach me. But this is what the Upanishads say. Even pundits will say this. The Upanishads say that you are Brahman. But to understand what this really means, I don't myself know it, I'm a householder. You know, I myself don't have not realized the truth of this, but I can tell you what the Upanishads say and what the Bhashyas say. Right? Because they've just read it. They've just read about it. It's all like an intellectual knowledge, you know. And so here with this gun, that's why this ganitva is so important. So having eliminated all other possibilities about yourself, and yourself is present. Remember, the tenth man is right here. There's nowhere to go for it. The tenth man experience is already completely present. All that that tenth man needs is to recognize, having eliminated all the other possibilities, the tenth man has to realize, I'm the tenth man. I'm the tenth man. What's the new experience there? It's bringing knowledge to the experience, recognition to the experience that is already completely there. There's no new experience to be gained. And so now, when the tenth man knows, I am the tenth man, aparokshatiya, as direct immediate knowledge, then what does he say? Hrishati eva. He rejoices. He becomes relieved. Hrish means that horripilation where your hair stands on end. he becomes very happy, and then what? Narodati. He stops crying. Okay. He becomes very happy, right? Because there is no disaster after all, right? And he stops crying. It all becomes something of the past, something that is no longer the tears are no longer relevant, and even the happiness is a little odd, right? It's not odd, but in a way it is odd. It's odd only because there never was a problem. The tears were odd. The tears don't have reality. And the happiness also. Because I was crying about something that was not there, and now I'm rejoicing over something, finding out that something was never there. It's very interesting. You know, it's kind of makes me think of, I don't know if this is exactly the same, but it's like when you wake up from a bad dream, right? You wake up from a bad dream and you're so happy and so relieved that it was only a dream, right? And you rejoice over the fact that it was only a dream, you know? It's very, very interesting because, you know, look, why I'm saying that, because this is all on a vritti level. Because the tenth man experience was there before and after. Before knowledge and after knowledge. It's not like the being that was the truth of the tenth man, right? The tenth man was not labeling himself as the tenth man. That's what was causing all of the problems. You see that? Once the tenth man realizes, I am the tenth man, he is recognizing something, a truth, that has been totally, completely present all along. There's not a coming into being of the tenth man. There's not a coming into being of the tenth man experience. Their only problem was that there was ignorance of the tenth man, even though the tenth man experience was completely there. So now, in reference to yourself, right now, say as an Ajnani, we say you have no knowledge at all. The self experience that you are is completely 100% there. But that self-experience, because there's ignorance, is mistaken because this Brahma, it's what we call the Vibrahma, the self-experience is mistaken to belong to the body, to the mind, to the sense organ. Say, just if we look at it in terms of the upadhi, my self-experience, this me that I take to be me that is me, is mistakenly superimposed on this body, mind, sense organs. Once that happens, I become one entity within this creation. I mean, this is where the whole thing becomes a problem. I become, first of all, this body is finite, so I become finite. My mind is changing and moody, I become changing and moody. My sense organs are what they are. Ah, those are the sense organs that I have. I grow old and I die. I'm subject to birth, death, all of these things. All of these things are superimposed on me. And then not only that, because now I've taken myself, I've made, because of this error, I take myself to be this. Well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about you, you, and you, and you? You're all different. If I'm this, then I'm not that. If I'm this, then I'm not this or this. Right? I'm certainly not you, you or you. I'm certainly not Ishwara. I'm not the whole. Because I'm identified with a part. If I'm identified with a part, then what about the rest of it? I'm separate from that. And so this adhyasa, once it starts, because the ahankara, you know, because of that ajnana, this is in the Taittiriya Upanishad, the slightest bit, the slightest slip of ajnanam, right? The slightest duality, little speck of duality that is there, there is bhayam, there's fear. If there's one speck of duality, right, there's infinite duality. There can't be one speck of duality. If you stick your toe in, you're completely wet. You see how that is? And so it's just an interesting, the tenth man story is something to think over in terms of your own experience. When you gain this knowledge, you know, there's so much teaching involved. to take your mind step by step by step to recognizing your own Swarupa, your own nature. But what are you recognizing? Is what you're recognizing away from you? You're just recognizing the truth of what is already here. Right? You're recognizing the truth of what is here. When you recognize the truth of what is here, like when the tenth man recognizes, I am the tenth man, the sorrow goes away because it was illegitimate. He rejoices, you know, but when Swamiji tells this story, he makes, when he says he rejoices, but he's also a little embarrassed. He rejoices, but it's not something you really want to brag about. I mean, can you imagine saying, you know, I'm the tenth man, I'm the tenth man? How is it that you missed it? That's the problem. And so you don't feel like bragging about it, and yet you're absolutely ecstatic about it. You know? And that's a situation for a wise person. I think you don't necessarily feel like bragging about it. There's something incredible about that teaching as it takes place, because as it takes place, it's telling you that sometimes, for many of us anyway, the experience is being told something that you've always known, but finally you're hearing it. But it's not as though you didn't know. It's like as the knowledge unfolds itself, it's unfolding you. And since it's unfolding you, it's not foreign territory. And at the same time, you didn't know. Right? So that ajnana is being, sometimes that's why they'll call it, it's almost like a memory. But you can't say it's a memory. When you gain this knowledge, you can't say it's a memory, because then you would have to have prior knowledge, right, for it to be a memory. So you don't have prior knowledge, but at the same time, on one level, you do have prior knowledge because you're Ishwara. From the level, that's a little far jump to make, but it's also true. But from the standpoint of the jiva, when you're gaining this knowledge, it's an unfoldment of the obvious, you know, because you see step by step by step. An unfoldment of the obvious. It's not the creation of something new, it's the recognition of something that's always been there. So he says, now having known this aparokshataya, he rejoices and the sorrow is no more. No roditi. Okay, let's stop there, because we're going to go into another section here. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.